I'm going to turn to the book of Matthew chapter 1, and I've been sharing with you over the past 2 weeks about the revelation of Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ, and continually teaching on the fact that this reality, that if God does not reveal who Jesus the Son is, you can't know him. When Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And they said, "One of the prophets, Jeremiah, Elijah." Then he said, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter knew, he declared who Jesus was, and Jesus made known to him the source of that knowledge. He said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven." And so Jesus made clear there in Matthew 16, that it was the Father who reveals the Son. Then in John 14 and 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He declared that you can't get to the Father except through him. And then in another place, I believe it's John 6, 44, where he said, no man can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So in essence, what Jesus is saying is that you can't know God unless God reveals himself to you. That's why we understand and we know that there was none of us running and clawing after God saying, "God, save me, please help me." We were running the opposite direction. We were doing our own thing. And God rescued us. His love pursued us, captured us, saved us, and convinced us that his grace is better than anything, so much so that 1 John 4:19, John said it this way: we love him because he first loved us. So you understand, it all starts with God. Glory to God. Amen. It all starts. All of creation started with God. Look, every day starts with God. Hey, look, if God doesn't keep the ticker ticking, if God doesn't open up your eyes in the morning, look, the day ain't going to start. It starts with him, church. He is the beginning and the end, and he fills everything in between, right? So it all starts with God, and that's why I've been talking to you about the Christmas story, Zachariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon, Anna. All of them, God revealed his son to them. And if God hadn't revealed his son to them, there's no way they would know Jesus. Okay? Now, therein lies, and I'm just belaboring what I've said over the two weeks, because that's how you do it. You know, we don't get things on the first try. You know what I'm saying? You, in order to get something, you have to hear it over and over and over and over again for it to be reality in your life. So it was the revelation of God that God brought to these. And that's why we look at the Christmas story every year. And we rejoice in what God has done in revealing Christ to them. As we were getting ready to close prayer on Tuesday, Pastor Moses said, "Oh, by the way, let me share this testimony with you all." They have a home over in Uganda that they're away from right now, and they have someone who takes care of the house. It's a man, and he's a Muslim, and he's been taking care of their home for a while. Well, Moses was on a call with him and talking with him and just making sure everything's going the way it ought to go. And Moses said, "Okay, well, you know, thank you very much, brother." He didn't say brother. He said, "Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later." And the man said, "Oh, hold it one moment. I need to tell you something." He said, "Oh, what is that?" He said, "I would like to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." Hey, another boy. Our glory to God. Look here. A Muslim told the Christian, "Hope, don't hang up yet. I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior." When Moses said that, my spirit went, "Oh, glory to God." Because Because of what we've been teaching. See, that didn't happen because he all just woke up one day and said, hey, I want to know Jesus. No, no, no. God was at work. God was at work in his heart. Because you can't know who Jesus is unless the Father reveals him to you, right? So what am I saying? I'm saying that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he was doing in the first century, he told Mary, you're going to bring forth a son. He told Joseph, you're going to name him Jesus. He told the shepherds, hey, today there's a Savior born. He told Simeon, you're not going to die until you see the Lord's Christ. He told Anna, hey, you're going to see the salvation of Israel. He even told the wise men. Later, after Christ was one or 2 years old, there's a king born. God told all those people. And guess what he's doing today? He's telling people about his son. He's revealing his son to people. And so this Muslim man said, I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And Moses in America prayed over the phone with a Muslim in Uganda, and he got saved. He received Christ as his Lord. Ha ha! Hallelujah! Look, that's the greatest miracle in the Bible. Let's keep it straight now. The greatest miracle in the Bible is our resurrection, which is tied to Christ's resurrection. His resurrection resulted in our resurrection. And so salvation is the greatest miracle. Yeah, we see people heal, arms, deaf ears, all of that. Yeah, all of that's great. And it's God. But that's temporal. The everlasting miracle is when you're changed forever. All right. So that's what God's doing. And that's why we see the angels. Remember, I talked about how the Christmas story, more than any other story in the Bible, where you see angelic activity surrounding angelic activity on earth, right? You see all of this. I know the book of Revelation, that's totally different. But in the lives of God's people, you see these angels coming and appearing to Zechariah, appearing to Mary, appearing to Joseph, appearing to the shepherds, you know, appearing to all of these people, doing what? Preparing them all for the coming of Jesus. That's why the angels were there. Well, so this past Wednesday, I'm minding my business, doing what I always do, going to people's homes, cleaning the carpet. And so a 20-year customer of mine told a woman across the street, hey, you need to call this guy because he'd be cleaning my car. He'll do you a great job. Well, she calls, and I go in, and I cleaned her carpet, got there at 9. I was wrapping up about 10 o'clock. About 12:30, her and I finally got done talking. Yeah. About 12:30, I looked at my watch. I was like, oh, glory to God. It's time to go. Amen. And but while I was there, she shared a story with me of how she had a medical condition. This is a Catholic woman. Amen. I told a Catholic lady a week and a half ago, I said, I want you to know God loves you Catholics. She's kind of looked at me. I said, I want you to know God loves you Catholics. Because you know who I share the gospel with more times than anybody, while I'm cleaning the carpet? It's Catholics. That was a week and a half ago. So then on Wednesday, this Catholic woman told me, said, listen, we were talking. I said something about an angel. She says, oh, you got to hear my story. I said, okay. So she had this medical condition. She went to the doctor. The doctor couldn't figure it out. They were trying to put all this medication. She did medication. It wasn't working. She was getting to the point where it was a condition that was driving her mad. And she said, the thought did cross my mind that, you know, because I had someone pass away in my life. She thought to herself, it probably would, you know, because this is driving me mad. I can't deal with this. She went to a pharmacy. I don't know which one. She went to a pharmacy and she told this tall blonde nurse, told her condition. And the nurse looked at her and said, it is a condition dealing with a fragrance. It is, you are using a fragrance like this tall blonde nurse had a word of knowledge. Said, you're using something and putting it on your body. Said, stop that and you'll be fine. And then so didn't give her any medication or anything. And so the woman turns around and leaves. She says, I stopped. I did what this pharmacist said to do. And the next day, 50% relief. It was 50% reduction in the circumstance that I had going on in my body. I said, okay. And she said, and then it waned and totally went away. After a few days, it was totally gone. So, of course, she goes back to the pharmacy. And she calls the pharmacist. And of course, she said that, the pharmacist that I had wasn't there. So but the head pharmacist was, said, hey, where is that pharmacist, that tall blonde woman, that pharmacist? You need to know what she told me. And the man looked at her and said, oh, excuse me, ma'am. He just dismissed her and said, we don't have a pharmacist with that description. You must have been someone else, somewhere else. She said, no. She stopped and said, no, it was right here. This tall blonde woman told me. She says, Pat, that woman vanished. Was not even there, was not even a one. She said, did you have a guest pharmacist? Did you have someone come from another pharmacy to help out? He said, no, there's no one here by that description. Now, I said that to say this. The angels came to Mary, Joseph, and all of them in the first century to do what? To reveal Jesus. Why did the angel come to this woman? To reveal Jesus. To reveal Jesus. Yeah. Because, of course, I told her my angel story. And then as I was getting ready to leave, I prayed for her family and all that. And I'm getting ready to leave. And she stopped me. And she says, I am so unfulfilled spiritually in the church that I go to. Let's be honest, the Catholic Church. She says, please, is there anything can you do? I said, do you really want living water? You really want to be full? She says, oh, yes, I do. I said, oh, glory to God. That's all I need to hear. Give me your hand. And then we sat there and we prayed the sinner's prayer. And this woman got wholly born again. So much so that when I looked at her, I was like, oh, glory to God. I said, your countenance has changed. I looked out like, oh, I said, ma'am, I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not trying to put on a show. Woman, you look different. she said, what I look like? I said, well, you look like you're at rest. You look like you're at peace. I mean, her countenance changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I left that house with my spiritual hands up in the air. I went on about my day. I came here and cleaned this carpet. That was last Wednesday, is what I did. And so I said that to say this. What God was doing in the first century New Testament church, he's doing today. He's never stopped. What's he doing? He's saving people. He's revealing to people his son. Now, primarily, how does that happen? It's through the gospel. It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, go preach the gospel to every creature, right? And then he sends us out. He said in Acts, 1:8, he says, you shall be my witnesses after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, right? He said, you shall be my witnesses. He didn't say you shall witness. He said, you shall be my witnesses. Hello. To witness, you do what you say. To be a witness, you do with your life. We got a whole bunch of talk. We don't need talk. Got a whole bunch of people saying all kinds of things. No, stop with that. Live. Just live a holy life. Live a life accessible to the Holy Spirit. Listen, live a life that when the Holy Ghost, you see the Holy Ghost doing something, you say, okay, whatever I'm doing, I'm stopping right now. Like the shepherds did. They're washing their sheep. And the angel says, in the town of Bethlehem, there's been a Savior born. And guess what they did? They said, okay, we'll put these sheep. Y'all hold on. We got to go see this. And they went to see the baby, right? God's doing the same thing. And guess who he's going to use to do it? It's not going to be preachers. Pastors and teachers, who, come on. No, it's his church. It's his body. Who's his body? Amen. We are. All right. Well, I'm done. Glory. No. Let me. No. That's essentially. See, I have to give it to you. I have to give it to you the easy way, just so that I don't, in case I get with the scriptures and then muddle it all up, and then you stand and go, what did he just say? You know. So I gotta make it real clear. Amen. Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Okay, since we're Americans and we think betrothal and engagement is like ours, let me just explain again how it worked in Israel. So engagement, marriages were arranged, right? They were negotiated and there was a contract. And when a person was engaged, they were as good as married because it was a contract, right? And so you, when you were engaged, you were even called husband and wife. It's just that you, the bride or the couple still lived with their parents. And there was a year that they would live separate and remain faithful to one another while they were apart. And then after a year, the groom would come to the bride's house and get his bride, and they would then move into their own place, or he would live with her, and they would consummate their marriage, and the marriage was considered fully consummated then, right? So Mary and Joseph are betrothed at this point, right? They're engaged. It's that 1 year period before they consummate the marriage sexually and live with one another. They're in that period, and in that period, she was found with child. Now, you know how it goes. In Israel, if you were found with child, if you committed adultery, what's interesting is that the only way you could find out if someone did that is if they got pregnant. And so we see the disparity because the man was never accused of adultery, but the woman was. Same thing happens today. But God knows. That's a whole nother sermon. That's a whole nother thing. But we need to keep it real. Amen. So, but the scripture says this. It was before they came together. In other words, before man did anything, God was already at work. Can I say that again? Before you do anything, God is already at work. That's why when I get up in the morning, I say, oh, God, I thank you. That every place I'm headed, you already are. God, I thank you that you've already gone before me in every relationship, every person I'm going to meet today. I thank you that you are already there. I think you've already determined what it's going to be. Now, what I'm praying is that I could have the sense, the Holy Ghost boldness and grace to get with what I see you doing. That's what I'm praying. Hello, because he's already out there. Listen, you ain't waiting on God. God waiting on you. Look here. He's already there. Yes, sir. So before they came together, God was already at work. Why is that? Well, I said earlier, he's the Alpha. He's the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And this is the case with every person who comes to faith in Christ. Is that God has gone before them and he's working in their lives. That's why we can't judge people by what we see. Just pray for people. Pray for people and let God work. And always understanding, realizing this, you can't see what God is doing in the human heart. Only God can see that, right? And so before they came together, God was working. We see this illustrated, it's all throughout the Bible. I'll just use John chapter 1. Remember Nathanael. Jesus, the Bible says, was going to go into another city. And he told Philip, he found Philip and said, Philip, follow me. And then the scripture says, Philip found Nathanael. And he said, Nathanael, we have found the Christ. We found the Messiah that Moses talked about. And it's this man, his name is Jesus from Nazareth. And Nathanael said, Nazareth? He said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, Be like some people talking about Southeast D.C. Be like, oh, east of the Anacostia. No, man. What? No. No, ain't nothing good coming out. Southeast? No, bro. I know Southeast. That ain't happening. Nathaniel said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. And then as he was coming to Jesus, the scripture tells us this. Jesus looked at Nathaniel and he said to him, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And Nathaniel said this. He said, Lord, he said, how do you know me? And Jesus said, before Philip called you, I saw you standing under a fig tree. Nathaniel said, he said, oh, my Lord and my God, you are the King of Israel. You are the master of the Jewish people. Just because Jesus said, I saw you before Philip called you. Now, we don't know what that means. That could have been when we don't know when Nathaniel was standing under that fig tree. That could have been 2 days before, 3 days before, could have been a week. I don't know when it was. But apparently Nathaniel knew that he saw me long before Philip called me. And so Jesus was already at work. God was already at work in Nathaniel's life before Philip called him. Right? Jesus told the Jews in John 8:58, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Hey, God, do you know what that means? Come on. Do you know what that says about your life? Come on, man. I want you to get this. I want it to be a living reality that we are living this. That before Carl was, say, come on, before Daniel was, before Bill, I am. Look, if that's true, church, and it is, we know it is, then what are we worried about? What are we consumed with anxiety? Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, I know I'm going to kill myself. What are you talking about? Hello? Yeah, he's God. He's God. And at this moment, he's standing in your past, your present, and your future. He's God of all time. Hey, I feel like running. Come on, church. There's nobody like him. Come on. There's no one like him. Colossians 1:17, Paul said this about Jesus. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Hey, he's before all things. Glory to God. Before whatever problem or troublesome circumstance arises in your life, he's there. Before the three Hebrew boys was thrown in the fire, I contend Jesus was already standing in the fire. Hey, look here. He done got to the fire before. Hey, God, come on now. He done got to the fire before I ever got there. How do you think they stood up in the fire? Hello? How do you think that it didn't consume them? Hey, the king said, I see four. Didn't we throw, did y'all count? Did we throw three? I see four. What's up? Who put somebody in there? Yeah. Jesus is the one. He's in every fire. I was telling somebody yesterday about marriage, talking to somebody. I said, hey, how you doing? I said, hang on. Let me tell you, because some things going to happen. Things going to flip this way and that way. But Jesus, if you and your spouse go to Jesus together, he gonna fix it for you. Just hang together and seek the Lord together. He'll fix it. Where am I? It says, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Now listen, Jesus in you and Jesus in anybody else is the product of the Holy Spirit. Always. Always. Every person who has Jesus has the Holy Spirit. You cannot have Jesus without having the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Well, the scripture says she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. See? And so he issued forth and came forth from the Father through the Holy Spirit. Now, if that messes you up, it's only because they're one. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, they're one. 1 John 5:7 says, "For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." Okay? So, we see here that when Jesus comes into your life, moving on, because what's going to happen next is, verse 19, that Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Well, now, how did Joseph know that Mary had Jesus in her? Well, as I said last week, when you have Jesus in you, at some point, it's going to start to show. Is that true? Whenever you have somebody living in you, this is true of women. Glory to God. It better stay that way as long as I'm on the earth. When that changes, Father, hey, Laboshe, I'm ready. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Look here. If you have Jesus in you, you're going to start the show. Now watch this. Mary's living with her parents. They say she was a teenager. Joseph was much older than her. Joseph is living either on his own or with his parents. And all of a sudden, she starts to show. Can you imagine? Now remember, Joseph knows nothing about Jesus. So what does Joseph assume naturally? Well, my wife done gone out and committed adultery against me. We have a contract. We are bound to be married. And she has gone out and played the harlot. Imagine the conflict. Well, what can we liken that to? Well, when you have Jesus living on the inside of you, guess what is going to happen? Conflict. You're going to run into conflict, especially with people who don't know who Jesus is. They don't know what you're carrying. They don't know what's on the inside of you. I remember my boss at Giant when I was working at Giant years ago when I was first saved. He's messing with the wrong fella when I was first saved. You know how y'all be your first saved. Look, you hot. You like, don't mess with me. I love Jesus. And this fella told me, you know, when the district manager come, you lie and tell him this. I looked at him like, boy, who you talking to? Is anybody lying for you? Who you, man? Lying for you? Better back up. You know what I'm saying? And see, because he didn't know the Jesus in me. He saw Christ, but he didn't see all of, you know. And so we were having some conflict. Mary and Joseph, at this point, they're having some conflict, right? Mary, remember, we talked about Mary last week. She had already accepted the will of God for her life. The angel said, she said, behold the maidservant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word, is what she told the angel. She says, yes, I want to do the will of God. Well, Joseph hadn't been informed, so he doesn't know, right? And Joseph is troubled with the Jesus he's seeing in his wife. That happens in a lot of relationships. Happens in a lot of relationships. Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 10, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He was quoting Micah 7, verse 6. Because what fellowship has light with darkness? Come on. What fellowship has the son of Belial with the people of God? And so we see this conflict now, this rubbing, this going back and forth. But the scripture says that Joseph, being a just man or a righteous man, a good man, not wanting to make a public example. So, you know, according to the law, they could take Mary out and stone her, kill her. Right? Everything, yes. And take her life, extinguish her life. But Joseph. Now, if Joseph had gone up to the gate where the elders sat in the gate where judgments were held, and he said, hey, my wife, you know, like the John chapter 8, when they brought the woman caught in adultery, If he brought his wife and said, hey, she's committed adultery against me, they could carry it out. But Joseph didn't do that. Joseph, being a just man, a righteous man. You say, how did that work? Well, maybe Joseph was so righteous that he understood, not only does my wife have sin, but I have sin. Hey, and if her sin is going to be judged, maybe my sin ought to be judged. Amen. We need to be merciful. The Bible says mercy rejoices against judgment. Rejoices against judgment. I'm not saying that's what Joseph did or what he said, but he didn't want to expose her to that. And he was minded to put her away secretly. In other words, divorce her, not before witnesses at the gate, because that would bring judgment, but privately, just put her away. I love verse 20. But while he thought about these things, anybody in here thinking about some things? Anybody in here wrestling with some relational conflicts? You've been thinking about those relational conflicts. Anybody in here wrestling with some circumstances you can't change and you thinking about it, you mulling it over, you praying about it, you saying, oh, I don't know what to do, do this, do that. I recently took something before the Lord in prayer and I was earnest in my prayer, praying, and I said, Father, I need an answer. I need, and lo, did he answer? Yes. I just went on. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for speaking to me and showing me what I needed to know to make the right decision. Well, here's Joseph, and he's in that place. And the scripture says that while he was thinking about these things, and remember, what Joseph is thinking about is the presence of Jesus in his wife, or what's going on in his wife. He doesn't know it's Jesus yet. All Joseph knows is that he has an adulterous wife. Well, while he was thinking about those things, at the right time, God spoke to him. God spoke to him. The scripture says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Anybody hear dream? And when I say dream, I don't mean, you know, you ate pizza late at night and you had a dream. I'm not talking about you ate the 2-week-old collard greens and you had a nightmare. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about anyone have a dream. God spoke to you through a dream. The reason why I say that is because when I read that, it says the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And I thought to myself, I asked, why a dream? Well, now I'm a dreamer. God, every so often, God will speak to me through a dream. I'll have a prophetic dream. And I thought to myself, why a dream? and this came to me. Well, you know, son, in a dream, you can't argue with what I'm saying. In a dream, you are incapacitated. How many of you ever had a dream where you were arguing with God? No, remember when God spoke to Ananias about Saul in Acts chapter 9? He said, you need to go down to the street called Straight and inquire in the house of one Simon for a man named Saul. And Ananias said, no, Lord, I haven't heard about this man. Mm-mm. This man, Lord, do you know he's been locking up your saints and all this? Ananias is going back. God's like, go, boy. I've chosen him. Get up and go. In a dream, you don't do that. Dreams, one way, God's pushing information to you, right? And so God spoke to Joseph through a dream. And the angel was sent to deal with Joseph's fear, because the scripture reads, the angel said to him, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now we see the angel comes to reveal what's going on to Mary, in Mary. And in so doing, he reveals Jesus, the Christ, to Joseph. Okay? God used angels to do that then. He does the same thing now. We don't see the angels, because we would start worshiping angels and people get crazy. But nevertheless, they are at work. Right. So this angel comes to put Joseph at rest, to let him know it's the Holy Spirit working in his wife and not another man. Amen. And so we see Hebrews, what is it? Hebrews 1:14 says that are not they all ministering spirits, talking about angels, sent on to minister to those who shall be the heirs of salvation? Are not they all ministering spirits? So the angels come to minister, to help, to do God's bidding in the life of Joseph here, because Joseph is an heir of salvation. Like this woman I prayed with on Wednesday, she's an heir of salvation. She came to Christ through the gospel, right? And so Joseph sees now that because the angel's revealing to him, and I would say along with Joseph, if the Holy Spirit is the author of what's going on in you, honey, everything's all right with me. Look here. And I pray every day for the work of the Spirit in my wife and in my children. Come on, in my life and in your life. I pray for the work of what God, because what God started by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit in you and I through Christ, isn't finished. It's efficient. It's an ongoing process. So the angel then lays out the future for Joseph in verse 21, tells him what's going to happen. He says this. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Yeah, I like to call this the three wills, or at least that's what I identify here. He said, she will, you will, and he will. She's going to bring forth a son, okay? But you are going to name him Jesus. Why? Because God has determined that he will save his people from their sins. So what we find here is that the revelation of Jesus always demands or requires obedience. So when God revealed who Jesus was in Mary to Joseph, it then brought this, he brought this to Joseph, says, you will name him Jesus. That's what Joseph's job was here. That was his part. Mary was going to bear the son, but you're going to name the son, because God is going to use his son to save his people from their sins. Every person to whom Jesus is revealed will come to a place of surrender or obedience, because what has just been revealed was not our way, but it's God's way. Jesus' name in the Hebrew is Yeshua, and it means the Lord saved. The Lord saves. And he came to save us from sin. The Jews, no doubt, wanted a Messiah to save them from the Romans. But God sent the Messiah to save them from their sin. Why is one reason for that? Well, you know, your sin can do you a whole lot more detriment than the Romans ever could. Our sin will totally destroy us and condemn us to an eternal hell. But nobody in America, nobody with their crazy extremist tendencies or ideologies, could ever do more to us than what sin could do. So God sent his son that he might deliver us from our sin. Matthew goes on in verse 22 and says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, he quotes Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So Matthew, to whom was one of the disciples that God breathed and opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, took Isaiah 7:14 and applied it to the birth or the conception of Jesus. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. Wow. So as it was, it is revealed to Joseph who Jesus is. Joseph obeys. Verse 25 goes on and says, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, here we see the fulfillment of, we see the angel telling Joseph, Mary's going to bear a son. You call his name Jesus. So that legally, Jesus was the adopted son or the son of Joseph, which made him in the lineage of David. Because his mother was already in the lineage of David, but his father was from heaven. His father was God, but he came to a father, Joseph, who was also from the lineage of David, so that he could be claimed the son of David. But not only that, we see the angel telling him to name him Jesus, and the last verse of Matthew 1 says, and he called his name Jesus. In other words, Joseph did exactly what the Lord God required of him to do. So knowing who Jesus is puts one in the position and gives one the power to obey God. Let me say that again. Knowing who Jesus is puts one in the position and gives one the power to obey God. Because in every command that God gives comes the power to do what he's commanded you to do. So when the angel said to Joseph, you shall name him Jesus. Now, the power was there. Joseph didn't have to obey, but God help you if you didn't. He didn't have to obey, but he did. The same thing in the garden when God put the tree there and he said, don't eat of this tree. When God said that, hey, you got to understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of his mouth. And when God speaks, power is always released. Amen. When God speaks, power is released to the one he's speaking to. So when God says don't eat of the tree, listen, Adam and Eve had all the power they needed to kick the devil, to smack him all over the garden. Get out of here. You tell us obey. They could have beat him down like a rat. They had all that power, but they didn't do it. Joseph had the position. He had the power to obey God. And the last verse says, and he called his name Jesus. Now, what happened in Joseph's life, I'm praying what happened in mine. I'm praying what happened, the reality, that his reality would be our reality. That as God continually reveals who Christ is to you and I, remember now, the Gospel of John and 1 John, remember John the Apostle, the one whom Jesus loved. You remember, just to show you that the revelation of Jesus in the life of the Christian is progressive. How many of you would say, I know the Lord Jesus far better now than I did when I got saved? John in Revelation chapter 21 said, I heard a voice. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me, the sound of a trumpet. And he said, at one point he said, he turned around to see the voice. I love it. And John said, when he turned around, he saw one whose hair was white like wool. His feet were like burnished brass. His voice was the sound of many waters. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His eyes were like flames of fire. And he says, when I saw him, I fell over like a dead man. I'm like, holy John. Brother, you are John the Revelator. You are the one whom Jesus, you leaned on Jesus' breast. You were the one who Jesus said, behold your mother, woman, behold your son. On the cross, you know Jesus. John's like, no, I ain't never seen Jesus like this. He said, no. I never. No, that John fell over as a dead man. Why? Because because the revelation, listen, there's more. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry. When I think about it, there's more of him, church. Now, listen, you think you know Jesus now, right? Yeah, you do. I do. Okay. But there's more. There's more. And the Bible says that when we see him, we shall be like him, right? We shall see him as he is. Oh, my goodness. Look here. You know what that means? That means I got a whole lot of changing that's going to do in me, because if I'm going to see him the way he is, because I'm going to be like him, that means, oh my God, God's going to radically change. And that's what he's doing in you and I. Well, Joseph went from a regular engagement to contemplating divorce, talk about a pendulum swing, to a restored hope of a future marriage with his bride. And on top of that, he was looking forward to a supernatural birth of a child he knew nothing about. And all of this was due to the conception of Jesus. What does it show us? It shows us this: when Christ comes into your life, everything changes. Everything changes. Joseph's life, just going on like every other Jewish man, until Jesus was conceived in Mary, and everything in his life changed. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of Scripture. And we thank you, O God, that you who have begun a good work in us, you're going to complete it. You're faithful, O God, to finish that which you have started, O God. And so, Father, we surrender our hearts. Lord, we lay down our lives, O God. And we say, not our will, O God, not our will, but thy will be done. O God, in us, in our marriages, in our homes, in our families, in our neighborhoods, our communities, in our county, state, region, and nation, Lord, in the nations of the earth, O God, Lord, over which you rule, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the people and all those who dwell therein. Have your way, God. Lord Jesus Christ, rule upon the throne of your glory and of your victory, O God. For you are King of kings and you are Lord of lords, O God. You are the creator of all things and you've created it all for your glory. Thank you for creating all things. Thank you for sustaining all things. And thank you that all things will find their end in you. And so we pray, O God, for your desire, O Lord, in our lives, O God, to be realized, O Lord, for you are good. You are good. Amen. And your mercy endures forever. And we thank you, O God, that you have, Lord, put on display your mercy to us through Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask, O God, all these things in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you real good.